there.
Hmm. Well, when I first moved there, there were some of the huge hotels still left in Richfield. I mean, when Richfield was in its heyday, they had, huge hotels that gave sulfur baths. So people from New York City used to come there every summer and just stay the whole summer. And when you went by, they would all be sitting on the porches and, in the hotels. And then they just got so that they were empty. And then pretty soon, one by one, they came down. And all the other buildings were built. And, there were, I think, there was the Palmer House and the Erlington, I believe it was. And then there was a big one behind the park, and I can't remember what the name of that one was. But they're all gone now. And the two grocery stores that were there, they went out, and Great American came in up across from the, what was the Methodist Church at that time. I think it's something different now. And now that grocery store is not there anymore. The Price Chopper is on the other end of town, and that's a dollar store. But I don't know. I suppose people have lots more cars than they did at that time, And I don't know. I think people used to walk a lot in those days,
So. What were some of the stores besides the department store you talked about that were in the downtown Main Street area of Richmond?
Well, there was what they called the 5 and 10, which was a variety store, and Diamonds was the name of the people that owned that, and they were there for a long, long time, and you used to be able to find things for 5 cents and 10 cents and 20 cents, and they were located right next to Ruby's. I'm trying to think what other stores were there. Oh, there was a Potzner's, a little independent grocery store, and that's, of course, no longer there. And then he and his wife became milkman and woman, and so they delivered milk. Jimmy Meehan's insurance office was there on Main Street. Chef Diner's been there a long time. And there was another diner down farther. And what did they call that? I can't remember what they called it, but that was there for a long time, too. And there's the Park Inn, which is still there. And Cater's was an eating place. And that's where, I believe, where Kinney's is now. Kinney's Drugstore, so.
Did you ever stay at, living in Richfield, I suppose maybe not, but did you ever stay in any of those giant resort hotels?
No.
Do you know, did anyone in Richfield ever go in those sort of places?
I don't know. It was mostly, some of them must have worked there,
Yeah.
I didn't happen to know anybody that did, but my grandmother worked there when, I think years and years and years ago, but that was before I ever got to Richfield, But, I'm sure people from Richfield worked there.
When would you say those hotels really started hurting and closing up?
Oh, they were beginning to hurt when I went there. I went there in 1948, and I'm sure they were beginning to hurt right then, Yeah.
Was there anything, from what you could tell specifically, why that these places were closing?
I don't really know, because maybe they decided they didn't like the sulfur baths anymore. I don't know. But,
Maybe could you tell me a little bit about what your husband did for a living?
He was in the lumber business for a long, long time. He worked for his father when he was still in school. His father worked in Dallasville at a sawmill. And he worked there, and he would, on weekends, he would go up north and he would drive a log truck and fill it with logs, and then he'd drive it back to Dallasville. And then his father got this job at Library Bureau, and they wanted a sawmill built. So he was building the sawmill. And then he got a blood clot, so he was laid up. And so my husband quit school and went to work down there so that he could keep track of the things that were going on. And so then he, when my father-in-law got better, he went back to work, but my husband never went back to school. So he stayed there, and they finished building the sawmill. And then he became like just a lumber handler, but he worked nights. So he worked more than nights. He did. He put a lot of overtime in. And then little by little, he got to be supervisor over the sawmill. And then his father retired. So he became the supervisor in the sawmill. And then later on, he built a dry kiln for drying lumber. And what they did at the Library Bureau, they made library furniture, which a lot of it is in the Neche Library. And so he worked there for many years. And but he also bought all the lumber, all the logs from the Adirondacks. So he used to go up and look at the logs and check them out and buy them and measure them and, you know, have them loaded, bring them down to the mill, and then they'd they had a saw there, of course, with a sawmill, and they would saw them into boards and put them in the dry kiln and dry them, and then they would send them into the factory where the men would make furniture out of them. And they had wonderful craftsmen in there. They were just, they could do anything. And the finishes were wonderful in the products, you know. And so then he became a vice president of the whole complex. And but at the same time, they were having troubles. And so they... It was owned at first by Remington, and then they sold it to this private company, which didn't really do anything with it. But in order for this private company to get it, they the bank said, "Oh, that's how he became vice president, I guess," because they. Said that they wouldn't sell them to him, they wouldn't give him the loan unless they kept the three top people there and that they should be vice presidents, and that's when my husband got to be vice president. So he really didn't want to stay when this other company came in, but he had to for that reason, so that they could, you know, because he didn't want all the people in the plants to go, you know, be out of work. And so he did stay for 3 years. They said he had to stay for 3 years, and then he got through, and he retired. And then he went to work for Walter Rich on the railroad over here. And my son was the executive vice president for Walt Rich, and so Clausen got a job. Well, actually, it was in Richfield Springs because they had a mechanical section up there, and they needed somebody to go, like, to Utica for parts and go to Binghamton for parts and do things like that. So they hired him for that, and so that's what he did all day. He would, you know, just have to go places and pick up things. And he did run the train for a while. I guess that was before he went on the mechanical thing. Yeah, he became engineer.
He drove the train?
Mm-hmm. He did that for 2 or 3 years because they had a stone train that they used to go and get the stone from the quarry, and then they have to bring it to a destination where a trucks would load it. And he liked it, but it was a 12-hour day, and that was really rough. But he did keep it up for 3 years, and maybe it was 2 years. And then he said he just didn't want to do that anymore. So he got the job in the mechanical department. And he worked there for 11 years, and he retired from there. So yeah.
So all of this was after he had already retired from Library Bureau.
Yes, he worked for 33 years in Library Bureau, and then he worked another 11 years on the railroad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why did he, you said before that he wanted to quit when the company was bought, why was it that he wanted to quit?
Well, he wasn't too sure what was going to happen to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he just kind of wanted to do something else. He'd been there quite a while, and so that was his feeling, you know.
Did Library Bureau make a specific type of furniture? Did they have a style?
Well, yes, but I don't really know how to describe it, you know. It was like most of the finishes were fruit wood, so kind of a mixture, you know. And but they made all the carrels for here, and the stacks and tables, and, you know, they made them for other places too. I mean, they used to have salesmen in Texas and all over, you know.
So they were nationwide?
Yes, they were. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you know what happened to that company after your husband left?
No, I mean, it just went downhill, and they never really improved on it, and so it just went out. Mm-hmm.
So where did your children all end up when they grew up?
Well, they're all living very close around here. I have one that lives outside of Duanesburg. I have two in Clinton, New York. I have one in Cooperstown. I have one in Richfield, and one in Herkimer. Mm-hmm. And I said my oldest worked for the railroad, and my second son, Rick, was an investigator for the Attorney General's office in Albany. And my third son is a project manager for a construction company in Syracuse. And my fourth son it's a small company now. It was bigger, but they kind of were downsizing, and it's for a Japanese company from Japan. They live in Japan, but they run this company, and he is running it now. It's very small, but it's electronics company of some kind. I'm not too sure what they make, but he does a lot of traveling to Japan and to Europe, and then my older daughter is what does she teach? Physiology and something, what? I can't think. She works for Herkimer Community College, and she teaches science. Yeah. And my younger daughter is a vet tech. So they're all doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Did they go to their higher education in New York State?
Yes, they all went to New York State. Yeah.
What were some of the schools they attended?
Let's see. David went to Morrisville. Rick went to SUNY IT, and then he went to upper division. Gary went to Eisenhower College, which was a college in Seneca Falls that no longer exists, but it was built just to, he was like the second or third graduating class from there. And they had no alumni, and they just couldn't keep it going. So RIT took it over. And so he's considered a graduate of RIT now. And then my fourth son went to RIT. And my older daughter went to Geneseo, and she did her graduate work in Oneonta. My fourth son that went to RIT, he did his graduate work in RIT. And my younger daughter went to Russell Sage, then to Albany State. She went to Russell Sage for history, and then she transferred to Albany State. And then she really didn't like what she was doing, and so she moved back to Oneonta, and then she went to Delhi and became a vet tech. So she's probably had 6 years of college for a two-year degree.
And do you know why they all decided to stay relatively close to home?
No, I think they liked the area, but my daughter went to, my older daughter went and worked in the University of, New Hampshire for a while. She went to Chicago first and worked in the Chicago Institute of Technology in research. And, I know what she teaches. She teaches anatomy and physiology. I couldn't think of what that was. And then she went to New Hampshire because the same doctor that was in Chicago moved to the University of New Hampshire, and he asked her to come up there, so she did. And then she got married, so she moved back to Herkimer because her husband is a real estate broker in Herkimer, so they live there. And I don't know, they all seem to find decent jobs around, so.
Is that normal for students from their graduating class to still mostly be in the area?
I really don't know, you know. I know there are some, but I don't know.
Was it difficult to, find colleges that they, in the area that had what they were looking for, or was it relatively easy?
Well, no, because I think most kids, when they go to college, don't really know what they're going to do when they start out. And they just kind of pick through the colleges and see which ones they think they're going to like. And they kind of have an idea of what they want to go, but half the time they change their minds as they get going, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
what sort of higher education or training have you had over the years?
I haven't gone to college, but I've had like a lot of computer courses and things like that, but that's about all.
What were the computer courses like? Over the past 20 years, there must have been a lot of computer courses.
Oh, they were so different, you know. I can't even remember Lotus and all these, you know, that were strange names. And because when I was working at MDS, I told you I worked in this department, 100, they called it. And they sent a memo around to the bosses saying that if anybody knew how to use a computer, they would get them a computer. And so I said to them, well, how are you supposed to learn if you don't have a computer, you know? And he said, well, that's what they said. So there was an area out in the plant that they called it the Rework Center, where they used to get parts that were broken or something, and they would rework them or order new ones or whatever. And they had a computer out there. And a friend of mine from Richfield Springs worked in that. He worked in a different department, but that was part of his job to be in there. So I called him up, and I knew nobody worked on the computer all day long. So I called him and I said, if I get permission to go an hour down there to work on the computer, you know, can I do it? And he said, sure. So I asked my boss, and he said, yeah. So I went down, and I didn't have a clue how to even start it, you know. So I kept calling this Don every time I'd, you know, get mixed up, and he'd straighten me out. So I just worked on it until I could, you know, get around it a little bit. So I went back and told my boss I could run the computer. So they got me a computer, and then I could go to any of the classes then. Wasn't that strange?
That's
you could
fantastic.
Go to the class after you knew how to use it. So,
What year was that?
Oh, it was probably 1982.
When you were first getting computers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there computers here at Neisha when you...
I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. I came, I think, in 1990. So, was that? No, or 95. It might have been 95. I'm not sure when it was.
What sort of, once you were allowed to take the computer classes, what were they trying to get you to do on the computers?
Well, they were a lot of, like, I suppose there was a program that was like Word, you know, and things like that, just to do charts and things. But I suppose mostly to keep track of things that went out in the factory, you know. I mean, you must have had charts that you had to fill in or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I first went there, they had the reel-to-reel, you know, where you put one reel on. I never used them, but they did have them in the factory. You'd put a large reel, about 6 inches in diameter, on one side and tape it over to the other side, and, you know, it would... Then they had punch cards that they put into them, you know, somehow. So, but then they got rid of those.
Were you one of the first people using the computer?
Well, it was quite early, I would think. Before I went to work there, of course.
Right.
But I do remember that they were just starting the touch screens then, and they had so much trouble with them, you know. But that's when I remember the Bless girls, they used to have to check them and check them and check them, you know, and they'd get so frustrated because they wouldn't work right, you know. But then they finally did, so.
What were the touch screens for?
Well, I suppose for like McDonald's and places like that, you know, for...
So they were making the touchscreens.
They were making the touchscreens, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know who they were for at that particular
right.
time.
Mm-hmm. And what made you want to be able to use the computer? Was it something your supervisor asked you to figure out? Or?
No, but I mean, it was just something new, and I thought it would be fun to learn it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and they used to have classes right there at MDS. There was another building across the street, and they used to have the classes there. And then later on, they had more classes in Utica. There was a big factory that was no longer in use, and so they used to hold the classes there.
Let's see. Did you ever want to work in an area here at Neisha that you, or MDS actually, that you didn't get a chance to go into?
I don't think so. No, I was, you know, pretty happy in what I was doing. You know.
What would you say one of the things about your job doing administrative work that most people wouldn't realize is part of the job?
Do you mean here?
Here or just in general? I think offices have changed a lot, maybe.
Oh, over they have. Because, you know, they never called anybody an administrative assistant. They were always secretaries.
There's a good way to start.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that the job has changed that much. It's, you know, very similar to what it used to be, but it's just a different title now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good because, you know, a lot of them really have a lot of hard work to do and you know, they have a lot of what do I want to say? I'm trying to think of what I want to say. Well, I don't know. I just, you know, think that it has changed.
Mm-hmm. Is there maybe anything else you'd like to add about a topic we haven't pursued? We've sort of been all over the place, but we have a little bit of time left.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I have 12 grandchildren.
You have 12 grandchildren.
And now they're getting older.
Who was your favorite teacher?
When I was in school, we had nuns. We had, you know, nuns at the Catholic school. And there was one in particular. Her name was Sister Rose. And she was a Latin teacher. And she was by far my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Why would you say she was your favorite?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I took 3 years of Latin. mostly probably because I liked her, you know. But,
was Latin required?
No. You had to take a language, and I took 1 year of French and didn't care for the French teacher at all. And so I had to take 2 years of it in order to get credits for it, and so I just dropped it and took Latin instead.
Why were you enrolled at that school instead of the public school?
I don't know, because that was... You know, where all my brothers and sisters went, my brothers and sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so your parents just decided that that's where you, everyone was going?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of private schools around the area during that time period?
Well, there were in different towns. I mean, there was
right.
There were parochial schools in most of the small towns. Now they're mostly all gone. But... St. Mary's was there for years and years and years, and then when, you know, things got bad, they just couldn't support it, then they eliminated the high school and just went to 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went to 6th grade, and then they just couldn't keep it any longer. So now the building, it's a huge stone building in Little Falls, and it's turned into apartments.
Do you keep in touch with anybody from when you were growing up in Little Falls?
Well, not really. You know, I used to. And we used to get together every once in a while, and we'd have reunions, and we'd see, you know, because, I don't know, it just, you kind of drift apart. You get new friends, and I guess everybody does, you know.
Trying to think of a good closing question. What would you say one of the best things about living in a small town in upstate New York is?
Well, it's quiet. Excuse me. You can travel quite a distance without having a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.